So what do you want to ask the Republican U.S. Senator representing Wisconsin? I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we are one of only six states to have split political party representation in the U.S. Senate. And Pew Research says that's the fewest since the ratification of the 17th Amendment and the direct election of our senators over a century ago. Our guest is Senator Ron Johnson, and you're invited to join us now at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Senator Johnson was elected to the Senate first in 2010 and would be up for re-election next year if he decides to run again. Senator Johnson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Lee. I hope you're doing well.
You as well, sir. And let's start first with a tragedy that occurred Sunday evening in Waukesha at the Christmas parade, killing five, injuring more than 40 others. What are your thoughts about this incident?
Well, it was a horrific tragedy. I was down in Waukesha last night for the interfaith prayer vigil. I don't know how many people attended. It had to be at least 1,000 people, which is, what you'd expect out of a Wisconsin community, people coming together. Praying for the healing of bodies, of souls, of our communities, our state, our nation, quite honestly. So Waukesha will get through this. I'm sure they will. But I think what compounds the tragedy is, as we find out, who was driving the car, his extensive criminal background, I think the fact of the matter is he probably shouldn't have been on the streets. This probably should never have happened. So that just adds to the tragedy.
Do you think there will be changes ahead for the sake of public safety as we approach the holidays, Senator?
I'm not quite understanding your...
Just wondering if you... whether or not there will be public changes to public safety, reassessment of public safety in the aftermath of the tragedy.
Yeah, I think we've been looking at our criminal justice system literally for decades. And we've made, some reforms. Some reforms I supported. For example, the disparity between crack and powder cocaine was bizarre, and that's, some of those things have been fixed. I think we need to take a look at who we're incarcerating and who we're not incarcerating. I think this revolving door criminal justice system, in some cases, it's almost a catch and release, something similar that we're seeing on the southern border. I don't think that can continue. We need to put people in jail who are violent, that represent a real risk to society, and maybe take a look at some of the people we are incarcerating for a very long period of time that don't represent that same risk. If there's an issue of overcrowding in jails, need to look at all these things. But we just should not allow violent criminals to repeat offend, let them out on bail, with a backed up court system. It's not a legitimate excuse, quite honestly. And as a result, we have at least five people dead. Hopefully, the people who are injured will recover from their injuries. But what unfortunately will people never forget what they witnessed. As horrific as the deaths, the injuries were, I keep thinking of those little children sitting on the curb waiting to see Santa, watching the dancing grannies and the high school bands. They will never ever forget what happened. They'll never be able to erase that horrific slaughter from their minds. And that's just another part of the tragedy.
You have a line to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson at 1-800-642-1234, where Jeff from Delafield standing by. Jeff, good morning. You're on the morning show.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. Senator Johnson, I was wondering if you could comment on what may or may not be in the Build Back Better bill in regards to immigration reform or even benefits for what we might call illegal immigrants. Thank you.
Well, I haven't, poured over the House version. I know we don't, I haven't really even seen any kind of language on the Senate version. That's still being negotiated. There should not be a change to immigration policy. It would violate our Senate rules to, stick a policy change like that doesn't really relate to the budget, or where the budget is just incidental to what they're trying to do policy-wise. Our immigration system is broken. We need to fix it. We're a nation of immigrants. I just wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal talking about if we're going to experience the kind of economic growth we need to dig ourselves out of this enormous debt hole, we're going to have to grow our economy. And a huge component of economic growth is a growing labor supply, which we don't have right now. So that would infer that we need a a legal immigration system that's really tied to work and to contributions to our economy, and we don't have that right now. And this uncontrolled illegal flow is the worst possible event here in terms of stabilizing our economy, providing a, you know, actually getting to a solution on immigration. So, you know, that's very unfortunate. It's one of the real tragedies of President Biden dismantling the successful border control policies of the previous administration and now resulting in this massive illegal flow. People coming in this country now undocumented. They're the ones that can be exploited by employers. It's illegal immigrants that you know, can depress American wages as opposed to controlling it through a legal process. So, but running it through a reconciliation process, a massive spending bill that's just going to add to inflation, is not the way to change immigration policy.
Get the sense you will not be supporting the Build Back Better proposal in the Senate.
No, we have inflation already growing. It's not temporary. I was in business for 30 years. It was like pulling teeth, getting a price increase through. Now price increases are expected and they're being accepted. That is a sign of inflation becoming endemic. You know, I started my business in the midst of a stagflation. Very difficult cycle to break, and I think we're in there right now. Slow economic growth, rising inflation. We see, you know, the increased gasoline prices, food prices. That is caused by too much money chasing too few goods, and the more Democrats spend money we don't have, they're just adding to that money supply, while at the same time we're probably moving toward a over-regulation of the economy, which is not helpful in terms of getting goods actually supplied. So it's a double whammy. It's a very dangerous economic territory that we're treading in here.
Let's go back to your calls this morning and your chance to ask Senator Ron Johnson your questions at 1-800-642-1234, where Colleen is standing by from Darlington. Colleen, good morning. You're on the morning show with Senator Ron Johnson.
Hello, Ron. I was just wondering if you thought the January 6th attack was actually a terrible attack on our democracy, and should every one of them be held accountable?
Colleen, thank you.
Colleen, thanks for the question. Yeah, I condemned it that day. I found the violence repugnant. I found the racial slurs repulsive. So I condemned it. I continue to condemn it. But I also condemn violence during the summer riots as well. But I also defend, whether it's Black Lives Matter and those individuals that peacefully protested during the summer, it's the same way I defend people that came to D.C. to peacefully protest, even though they were, you know, basically trying to put pressure on people like me to vote the way I wasn't going to vote. So, again, I defend people's First Amendment right to peacefully assemble, petition the government, but I abhor and I condemn all forms of violence.
Thank you, Senator. Last week, Wisconsin Assemblyman Tim Ramthune formally proposed a resolution to decertify the 2020 election and reclaim Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes from President Biden. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I think it's imperative that we restore confidence in our election system for everybody. This is an unsustainable state of affairs where at the end of the 2016 election, you know, half the country didn't view that election as a legitimate result. And then 4 years later here, the other half is saying this is not legitimate. You know, we have the pandemic. We expanded dramatically absentee voting, which the Jimmy Carter, James Baker Commission warned us was probably the greatest avenue for election fraud, while we also relaxed so many of the controls over absentee balloting. And so there are legitimate concerns about the irregularities, observers not being able to observe, ballot drop boxes. You know, more and more information is going to be coming out. It's difficult to investigate these things. But the goal should be to restore confidence for everybody, for every Republican, independent, Democrat, no matter who wins. Okay, that's a legitimate election. We move on. And if you don't like the result, work harder to win the next election. So I think the goal needs to be restore confidence in our election for everybody.
Well, how does, just quoting you from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here earlier this month, don't listen to the Wisconsin Elections Commission anymore. Their guidances are null and void. What does that do in regards to election integrity?
Well, take a look at the Legislative Audit Bureau that basically talked about how the Wisconsin Election Commission issued these guidances that were contrary to state law. And so, no, I've completely lost confidence in the Wisconsin Election Commission. When it comes to federal election, the Constitution assigns responsibility to set the times, places, and manner of elections with the state legislature. And so I think the state legislature needs to reassert its authority, make sure that in the federal elections, our election clerks follow state law, not guidances that are contrary to state law. And we've got some pretty good state election law here. Now, we may need to pass some new laws. We may need to put some more controls in place so that every legitimate vote counts and that no legitimate vote is canceled by a fraudulent count. Again, the only way I can, see of restoring confidence for everybody in elections is to take a look at what's happened in the past, honestly, and then if there are some issues, if there are problems, correct them. If there weren't problems, if we can explain an irregularity, explain it and say, okay, that wasn't a problem. Let's look at something else. Let's move forward and have confidence in our election system.
Senator Johnson, the report from the nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau didn't find any evidence of widespread fraud or abuse in Wisconsin's 2020 elections. Nursing homes were not allowing in election workers, and nursing home residents had to be given an opportunity to exercise their right to vote. While the state law requires absentee ballots to be mailed when election workers are unable to make visits, the commission voted to send absentee ballots to nursing homes last year. What was nefarious there?
Well, we had balloting in the park. We had election clerk hearing absentee ballots. We had this issue of indefinitely confined voters that didn't provide voter ID. Again, there are a number of issues that are just contrary to Wisconsin state law. Now, I realize that every law can be, people can argue over exactly what it says. So that's one of the things we might need to do is tighten up so that everybody understands exactly what we mean by election law. What I'm talking about is the process and the fact that Wisconsin Election Commission did issue guidances that were contrary to state law. We have a member of the Election Commission saying that they were going to give guidance that was illegal. It's admitted. It's on videotape. So, again, my goal is to restore confidence in our elections for every Wisconsinite. There should be nothing partisan about this. It's also the way, for example, many people make it a partisan issue to provide voter ID. But if you take a look at national polls, about 80% of Americans agree with voter ID because they don't want their legitimate vote canceled by a fraudulent one. So they want some controls in place to ensure that their legitimate vote isn't canceled out by a fraudulent vote. Again, I'm looking prospectively. It's very difficult to prove fraud. It's very difficult to prove. You have to investigate. You have to do it almost person by person. Once an absentee ballot is separated from the envelope, it's pretty difficult to prove fraud. So that's why, people say, but we're proving fraud. You saw it in the nursing homes.
Well, where are the charges?
What I'm talking about is the process that will restore confidence prospectively in upcoming elections.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, our guest, taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and our guest for the rest of this hour is U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, taking your calls and questions at 1-800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Daniel in Madison, you're on The Morning Show this morning with Senator Ron Johnson.
Hi, good morning. I just want to say to Senator Ron Johnson that they know the truth, that there was nothing wrong with the election. They are just trying to appease an angry God, Donald Trump. They know very well that whatever they are trying to prove is not there. But they just want to keep flaming the fire of Donald Trump so he can support them in raising funds. Senator Ron Johnson knows the truth. That's all they are trying to do.
Daniel, thank you. And let me pivot a little bit here, Senator, and ask you about the role of Donald Trump in the future of the Republican Party.
Well, first of all, let me say I completely disagree with Daniel. I'll restate my goal again. I think it's a goal that most Wisconsinites, most Americans would share, is we all need to have confidence in the legitimacy of the election and that our legitimate vote isn't canceled out by a fraudulent vote. That requires controls on the front side, which we have enacted within Wisconsin law, but we issued guidances that were contrary to that law. So again, we need to just institute those controls so that people have confidence.
But let me ask you, whatever
role Donald Trump wants to play, that's up to Donald Trump, not up to me.
The quote from Reid Epstein's article in the New York Times over the weekend about the election integrity in Wisconsin has a quote from you saying that you suppose some counties will handle our elections one way and other counties will handle it another. I don't know how that aids election integrity and how you see this playing out.
It doesn't. Again, that was a hypothetical question he asked me.
Okay.
If the legislature actually reasserts its authority over the elections and issues its own guidances based on state law, and if WEC then goes ahead and issues its own guidance, you know, what's going to happen? And so I answered a hypothetical question. I probably shouldn't answer hypothetical questions. I hope that doesn't happen. But I said, you know, barring some authoritarian, you know, whether a court intervenes or whatever, I would imagine some counties would follow the state legislature guidance, which is what I believe they should do, and some might follow what WEC says. I mean, again, I think that'd be a very tragic result. I think, as I stated, the state legislature, there in terms of federal elections now, I'm talking federal elections, the Constitution vests them with the authority to set the times, place, and manner of elections. It never mentions the governor. It says the state legislatures. So I would take the position that they write the law. They should issue the resolutions or guidances, and this is how our elections ought to be handled. By the way, I wouldn't think there'd be much of a departure from what is already in state law. It's just like follow the law. Don't follow the guidances because they're contrary to state law. But again, you know, it does seem, and I, you know, apologize to your audience because I think they, you know, probably not as supportive of my viewpoint as I'd like to see sometimes. But it does seem the Democrats want to make it easier to cheat in elections. I mean, they keep pushing the boundaries of what's allowable. And, you know, again, as the Carter-Baker Commission, Jimmy Carter, James Baker said, the greatest area for potential fraud is in mail-in and absentee balloting. And that's exactly what Democrats want to do. They want to keep pushing absentee balloting.
We have states with mail-in ballots.
That's going to reduce confidence in our election. I don't think that's a good thing.
Our guest is U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. He's taking your calls this morning at 1-800-642-1234, where Bob and Kakana is standing by. Bob, good morning. You're on with Senator Johnson.
Oh, hi, Senator Johnson. You used to have on your website a number that showed the federal deficit increasing throughout the Obama administration. And then as soon as the Republicans got control of Congress and the Senate, they passed a tax cut, which then took the deficit, which was about $400 billion a year, up to $1 trillion a year. How can you justify that?
Well, appreciate the question. First of all, the only way we're going to reduce deficits and debt is to grow our economy. And the way you grow your economy is you don't overregulate it and you have a competitive tax system. So we were well on our way to completely paying for that tax cut through robust economic growth prior to the COVID recession. I think we'd have easily paid for that $1.5 trillion static score, wasn't a dynamic score, and we would have paid for that tax cut with robust economic growth. And once you grow your economy, that's just revenue that just keeps coming in the federal government at a higher level. So I mean, that's the, you know, overall approach to economic growth.
Senator Johnson, YouTube gave you a 7-day suspension for your account regarding comments made in a video saying the coronavirus vaccine was unsafe. Be interested in knowing what your reaction is to the suspension, as well as to the other medical professionals who have said that you have repeated incorrect and sometimes misleading information about the pandemic.
Well, first of all, I never uttered those words. I never said the vaccine was unsafe. I said it's not as safe or as effective as we all hoped and prayed it would be. I'm just using the statistics off of the government's own vaccine adverse event reporting system.
So that, that's a self-reporting system, Senator, that anybody can go on and just put something in. It's not meant to be a data set. It's meant to be a catch-all. So it's a public health tool, but it's not supposed to be a data set.
So, Lee, are you going to interview me or argue with me?
I'm just asking.
So the VAERS system was touted in October of 2020 in about an eight-hour video teleconference is going to be the go-to system that's going to provide the safety signals. If for example, there was just one adverse event that results in even a couple days of lost time, there's going to be a CDC representative on the phone talking to that person. I mean, the truth is it's difficult to actually upload things in the VAERS system. Doctors kind of avoid doing it because it takes like 30 minutes. And so there are two big complaints about the VAERS system. A, it doesn't prove causation. I agree with that. But also it dramatically understates adverse events. So here's the numbers currently off the VAERS system. Worldwide over almost 19,000 deaths. I think we're 18,800 plus some deaths over the 10, 11 months that the vaccine's been in the place. That compares, by the way, with on average, over 26 years, about 78 deaths per year reported for the seasonal flu vaccine, 78 versus over 18,800. Total adverse events is now approaching 900,000. And again, one of the complaints is it dramatically understates it. So all I said is I'm asking the CDC, why aren't you paying attention to your own VAERS system? I think 5,800 of those over 18,000 deaths occurred on day 0, 1, or 2 following the vaccination. So I think the CDC is in a state of denial. The other part of my event that has been censored on YouTube is I'm just allowing people who've suffered vaccine injuries to tell their story.
Senator Johnson.
Again, there's no information in this. This is all true, but it's a truth that the mainstream media, the social media, the Biden administration, the health agencies doesn't want to be told. And so they just throw these pejoratives out at me saying, what is misinformation?
Senator,
tell me one thing I just said now that isn't true.
Senator Johnson.
It's all completely true. It's all based on data from the government's own websites, which they are ignoring. But go ahead, Lee.
We are out of time. I want to thank you for yours this morning, as always.
Okay, take care. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson joining us this morning. I'm Lee Rayburn, and for Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.